Hello, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Dirtcast. I am your co-host, Madeline Davies.
I'm your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
And today, we are going to be talking to our friends, Alex Better and Ryan Houlihan, about three of the four of our favorite topics.
Yes.
Vanderpump Rules, which is coming back on season 7 next week.
That's right.
Before we get started, a little bit of fun housekeeping.
Ooh.
The kind of housekeeping that I'm just like, oh, you know how everybody has their chore that they want to do? Like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't really mind vacuuming.
I don't mind dishes.
Yeah.
See? This is our dishes, my dishes.
We have a live show coming up Sunday, January 13th at the Bell House, which is so crazy and cool. The show is at 7:30. Only $10.
It's a small ask to see and to be in the room with this electric chemistry that Natty and I have together.
The tickets are on sale now.
They sure are. We will have special guests that we are not announcing at this time.
Yes. Special.
Special. As part of the Brooklyn Podcast Festival, I am nervous and excited.
As someone who measures my own self-worth in the approval of others, please buy tickets.
Yeah,
I'm begging you to please buy tickets.
Yeah, actually, I am with Maddie on that. Buy tickets. It would be great. I won't make eye contact with anyone except Maddie during the entire show.
I will make dead eye contact with one person in the crowd.
Yeah. I'm going to make one of my sisters sit in the front, and I'm going to gaze into their eyes the entire time when I'm not looking straight into yours.
Today, I was thinking about what am I going to wear, and I recently bought a sequin jumpsuit that I'm thinking about trotting out, so I'm saying it here so that I have to wear it.
We're going to look great. It's going to be great.
Other than that, I'm a little nutmeg.
Oh, that's a good one.
How's it going?
It is going great. I had a lovely, restorative, long weekend. Thanksgiving happened. I made a chicken that was very good. What else did I do? I went upstate to my dad's house.
Oh, nice.
Got into a couple of fights with my sister.
Sounds normal.
Yeah, pretty normal. I went to the Glossier store on Sunday.
Did you cop anything?
So my thing was, I was spent like all of Thanksgiving weekend like with family, like doing shit that I really just wanted to like stay in New York and like do whatever, but I couldn't, so it's fine. But I decided I wanted to do like one thing that I would have done had I been here like the whole weekend. So on the train, on the way back down to the city, I ordered three things from Glossier because they're having a 20% off sale.
This is not promoted.
Nope, this is not promoted. This is my own idiocy. But I ordered it, and then you can pick it up in the New York store.
Yeah, a lot of deals. A lot of deals this weekend.
Deals, deals, deals. So I went to the Glossier store. It was very, like, vagina-like. Pink.
You're talking about the store itself.
The store itself. It was very, like, pink and soft. And, like, there are a lot of, like, Instagrammable, like, spaces. There's a hall of mirrors with huge tubes of boy brow. So you could, like, pose with the boy brow.
Dang.
I went with my sister, Shayna. Hello, Shayna. And now I have some new highlighter, and I feel great about it.
Great.
How the hell are you?
I'm fine.
No.
yeah, I'm doing okay.
Great.
Also did some Black Friday deal shopping.
Right.
It is funny how capitalism tricks you.
Every year, every
into
time.
Thinking, like, I don't know. You probably spend so much more money than you ever would.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the deals.
Totally.
So like, you think you're getting a deal, but really you're just flushing money.
On Thanksgiving Day, like after I got home from where I was eating dinner, I sat down on the chair in my room and was like, I'm going to see what the fuck is up. And I just like bought a bunch of stuff on ASOS. I bought some new jeans. Like, yeah, I spent like more money than I would have normally or comfortably spent.
There's a coat that I've been coveting for a really long time.
Love
and
a coat.
It was 20% off. So I was like, I gotta buy it.
Did you get it?
I did. But the thing is, it's at 20% off was still too expensive for me. I don't know what I was thinking.
Any percent off, and the brain immediately is like, a bargain.
Yeah.
And then
we're all cogs in the machine of big bank.
That's right. Cool. So we're both doing fine.
Yeah.
Great. Let's talk about some shit, you know? Let's talk about some dirt, some dirtiest
dirt. Love to talk about some dirtiest dirt.
All right, let's do it. Kim Kardashian, I believe she said this on the show on Sunday. I'm fairly certain she said this on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, that she was on ecstasy when she made that sex tape with Ray J. And she was also on ecstasy when she got married for the first time to that guy, Damon Thomas, in 2000.
I did ecstasy once and I got married. I did it again. I made a sex tape, like everything bad would happen.
You were high on ecstasy when you had that sex tape?
Absolutely. Everyone knows it. Like my jaw was shaking.
She was telling Scott Disick this. On Tuesday, Ray J, who was the other participant in the sex tape, said that Kim is lying about being on ecstasy in the sex tape, and that something, he said something about like weed. I don't fucking know. She was probably on ecstasy.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not our job to know, right?
Nope, it's not. It's not. I do. I do love certainty, but it's not our job to know.
I think, and I don't say this even in a victim blaming way at all. I think a good way to like model the people you spend time with is this person going to trick me into making a sex tape, or are they going to make me get married to them? Like, before you do drugs.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like, I mean that just as, like, a future lesson for anybody.
Anyone listening.
I just think it's like, oh, I'm going to date this person, and, you know, would he convince me to get married when we're rolling?
That's a good gut check, I think. Yeah, that's a good thing to just, like, you're right. It's a good thing to just think about.
Or would I try to convince him, you know?
Right, like, where do I stand? Where do I fall?
Or her, or them. It's 2018, baby.
So—
What is Ray J up to?
I don't know.
Just being Brandy's brother.
No, he owns a, like, scooter company or something. Like, one of those, like a razor scooter company, but it's called Scooty Bike, I believe. So he's doing that.
Oh, he's also on Love and Hip Hop, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Cool.
Living his life. That's great.
Just wondering.
Okay. Here is an Ariana Grande update, because this is something that is very close to my heart. The video for Thank You Next is imminent, but it's not here yet. What is here, however, there is a trailer. There's like I fucking hate trailers for music videos.
Yeah, it's a really bad trend.
Pernicious.
I
do not like it. A 30-second trailer was released for the music video. She's been teasing, like, images on Instagram of the music video, like, all over the holiday weekend. It's Mean Girls themed.
Ariana broke off an engagement, so I found a guy to propose to me, and I broke off an engagement.
I heard she's a lesbian now and dating some chick called Aubrey. It's fucking sick.
I heard if you record her snoring and play it backwards, it sounds like Fantasia.
Ariana says, honest to God, knock me out. So I decided to punch myself in the face. It was awesome.
Some of the original cast of Mean Girls is in it.
Jonathan Bennett, a.k.a. Aaron. No, not Aaron.
Aaron Samuels.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the hair. He's in it.
Ariana Grande told me my hair looks sexy pushback. She's not wrong.
I don't know. Apparently the video, at the end of the trailer, it said, coming soon. And I would just like soon to be... How soon is now? You know?
I feel like the time for a Mean Girls themed video is not soon. It is actually past.
I agree with you. I agree with you there.
And I am not negative about Mean Girls as a concept. I think it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know. I guess the musical just came out.
Yeah, that's true.
I take it back. Do whatever.
I mean, the thing is...
I don't fucking care.
Okay, cool. That's cool. So what I was hoping for was when she performed Thank You Next on Ellen, whenever, like a week or blank ago, a couple weeks ago, it was like First Wives Club themed. The set was like a little wedding, and she was like climbing up on like the reception chairs, and she like fell over once, but it was fine. And everyone, that was cute. I would have taken that. I don't think I need or want. Like, I'm done with like the Mean Girls discourse.
Okay. Not done with First Wives Club.
No.
Never done.
Who would be done? Who's
Stockard Channing?
Sure. Fair. Okay, cool. Apparently also—
Victor Garber.
Oh, yeah. Just continuing with the cast members.
I'm just the cast members who had less than happy endings.
Yes. And then also Mac Miller fans are saying that Ariana Grande is milking his death because she was said something on Twitter about something that these trolls like latched onto. And I don't think it's worth giving them any more attention, but— I still continue to be shocked every day that I'm ending 2018 as, like, an Ariana Grande stan, but I will stand in my truth.
And just, like, further convincing that the best thing about Twitter is memes and nothing else.
That is also true. Here's a question for you, Maddie.
Oh, boy.
Have you been following Alec Baldwin's parking spot drama?
Absolutely not.
cool.
Really anything Alec Baldwin related. I just kind of like, suddenly my brain is just filled with the sound of bees mixed with him just like screaming at his daughter Ireland on that voicemail.
Oh, God.
And then I'm just like, oh, again, I don't know.
He's a disgusting man who is currently like, there's some sort of like snafu, like some, he claims that some dude, some man like stole his parking spot in New York. So
a classic New York conundrum.
A classic New York
conundrum.
Actually,
a classic driver conundrum.
Yes. Also sort of the plot, as I noted, of a book by Calvin Trillin called Tepper Isn't Going Out. It is a very short novel about a man who guards his parking spot by like sitting, like a chair. It's a whole thing. Whatever. It's a good book. Everyone should read it. In any case, he punched the guy.
Yeah.
And is pleading not guilty. So he's like in court about this. Alec Baldwin is a piece of trash.
Is Hilaria showing up support?
I do not know if Hilaria is showing up in support. Perhaps she's tending to their 1 to 2 children.
No, they have several.
They have, okay, maybe. No, well, the nanny's probably taking care of it then.
She's just doing her yoga business.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of yoga. Alec Baldwin, you're a fucking dick, man. I don't like it.
I don't think that's news to anybody.
No.
Rita Ora,
yes,
is possibly dating
uh-huh.
Eyal
yeah.
from Love Island, which is wild.
For those who do not recall, Eyal is the one who was briefly matched with Haley.
Yes.
On Love Island, who is like the most recent season of Love Island. Haley is truly one of the dumbest people. I think she's the one who didn't know about Brexit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's amazing. She could also never pronounce Eyal's name. They're two like very attractive, very stupid people who are like together briefly in a strange, you know, like a strange sort of terrarium setup. In any case, I'm sure that Eyal and Rita Ora have like made out once to three times in a club of sorts.
Wow.
Let's see. This is what The Sun has to say. Rita Ora has grown close to Love Island star Eyal Booker after being introduced by best pal Vaz J. Morgan. Who the fuck is that? The pop star, 28, was spotted kissing Eyal on a night out earlier this month, with an insider revealing Eyal has quickly become part of Rita's, quote, inner circle. In this photo, this paparazzi shot, Rita Ora is wearing a very nice teddy bear coat and like a sheer dress, and Eyal is wearing a pair of those Balenciaga sneakers. This does not surprise me. He's really hot. They're either just friends or they're fucking or they've fucked once and are done. But I want them to get married now.
Eyal really looks like kind of like a Roman sculpture of like a shepherd's boy. Or like he should just like have like a lute.
Or yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He has like very like kind of like almost marble looking soft curls.
Yes. And his face is very like chiseled in
a way.
And
he's like a little petite.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just feel like I want to see him like in a painting, mm-hmm. like with the legs of a goat, like a fawn or something.
Like a satyr?
Just, you know, dancing around gaily.
It's like, Mr. Tumnus.
Yes, exactly.
I love Mr. What's not to
love? Or just like, yeah, again, like any like, some, like you'll see like a Michelangelo sculpture and it's just like there's like a boy.
Yeah.
Like kind of a sexy,
like young
sexy
boy.
And he's, you know, kind of prancing aside.
Yeah, he's got like a little thing.
Lita is being raped by the swan. I don't know. But that's like what he looks like.
He does. And he's attractive.
And Rita Ora looks like Rita Ora.
Yeah. So you do
also
it.
Also very pretty.
Do with that what you will. So that's exciting. And maybe this will be the new celebrity relationship that I stan for 2019, although it probably won't.
Look.
Who knows?
I hope their friendship blossoms first.
I do too. All right.
So this is, this is all of what Twitter is talking about.
Twitter's a flutter.
But Allison P. Davis, who's a really great writer,
mm-hmm.
Wrote a profile of Lena Dunham for New York Mag / The Cut. There were a lot of strong reactions to the piece.
There were.
Everyone kind of conceded that it's very well written.
It is very well written.
The controversy was sort of like, why? Why profile Lena Dunham when there's other people?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Allison was really good at like letting the things that Lena Dunham says just kind of hang there.
Yeah.
At one point, Lena Dunham just like randomly asks if both of Allison's parents are black. And
right.
then that's just sort of where it ends. Like
yeah.
it just kind of like hangs.
She puts the like asides or like the things that like maybe another more I don't want to say fawning, but that's like the only word I can think
obsequious
of right now.
Obsequious writer.
Yeah, another more obsequious profile. Like the types of profiles that we normally see of celebrities would not leave in. She's doing the thing that is very hard to do successfully, which is literally just fucking showing instead of telling.
Yeah.
For that, it was very good. It opens with like the, just like the amount of texts that Lena Dunham has sent her, like since she started writing the article. It just sounds like a barrage.
Yeah.
Like just an unceasing sort
My
of.
My overall impression is that Lena Dunham is like still kind of like an overly indulged child.
Yeah.
Like she actually goes to her family home with Lori Simmons, her mother, mm-hmm. who's an artist. Mm-hmm. And just even their interactions is sort of like, it felt like a little small girl like wanting to wear her mother's clothes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like finding out that they hurt their mother's feelings or something.
Right.
And just the reaction, again, it just felt so strangely childish.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, of course, like Lena Dunham is going through like really severe health issues that are super traumatic. And I don't want to like downplay that. And
not
there's
at
nothing,
all.
I don't know. I feel like when you're in that situation, oftentimes there's nothing you want more than to like be babied by your mom.
Yeah.
But I think if someone was profiling me, I would at least be like, try to act like an adult.
Yeah. The one thing that I noted, I think, is
very juicy.
A juicy little tidbit is that she hasn't talked to Lord in like a year.
Since rumors started that she and Jack Antonoff had a relationship while he and Lena were still together.
Yeah.
That has been like denied by all parties.
Yeah. That's when he said the thing about heteronormative gossip, like when he tweeted the thing about like, don't believe this like heteronormative gossip or whatever. Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting because Lena says, she's like, I don't believe that it happened, but like I haven't spoken to Ella, which is Lord's real name, since then, which is like, it feels really childish again. Yeah, and then I don't know, the whole thing about her fallout with Jenny Connor is like the one thing she's so tight-lipped about, which I think is fascinating.
I do too. I want more immediately. She's very open about, she's very like loosey-goosey about everything else, but her Jenny fallout, she would not confirm or she wouldn't say anything about it.
Sitting across from me are two, I'm going to say toasts of the New York theater scene.
Wow. The New York theater scene is going to crash.
I don't know.
Oh,
I think
boy.
The next Hamilton. That's what his name is, I think.
That is.
We have Alex Better, who, of course, has been on the show before. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
And then we have Ryan Houlihan.
A virgin again.
But we are all here to talk about a subject so near and dear to our hearts.
Ugh.
Next week is the premiere of season, is it 7?
Yeah.
Of Vanderpump Rules.
This season on Vanderpump Rules.
Tonight is the night that many of us thought would never happen.
I'm engaged!
You had a very emotional year, as a few other people here have.
Do not ever bring up my dad. Damn you, I said.
No one can replace James Kennedy, baby.
He's working for me. He needs to show some respect.
And so we're just going to talk about all things Vanderpump, and these are the two perfect people to do it with.
Vanderpump scholars, internationally noted.
Yeah, exactly.
Reality TV scientists.
I've been to an accredited Villa Blanca University, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's online, though, right?
Yeah, it's all online.
Maddie, you tried to get me to watch Vanderpump, like, over the summer.
I will never stop trying.
Sure, and I appreciate that about you. It's one of it's a facet of our friendship that I really enjoy. But I made it up to the episode where Jax takes his shirt off.
That is not far at all.
I know that, but that's where I got. And then I don't know what happened. My brain was like, I don't want this right now.
I'm pretty sure a friend of mine owns that shirt and has it in a white box. I'm not kidding. In her apartment. I'm going to verify the fact.
It's like a sweater. It's like a cowl neck sweater.
He was
right?
wearing like an inappropriate article of clothing for both the event and what I assume, like the temperature.
Yeah, we were in Vegas.
They were in Vegas.
He was in the summer.
In the summer. He was wearing like a cowl neck, like very heavy-looking sweater with nothing underneath it.
It was put on to be dramatically removed, obviously, which I do admire.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I like that. So I'm coming into this as a neophyte to this whole situation, but I can't wait to be convinced.
I know.
I'm glad you did not do any homework over the weekend.
I did. Yeah. Gotta go.
If you wanted, like, a good, like, Cliff Notes version, this is something I just found yesterday. There's a video on YouTube that Bravo released called, like, Jax Taylor versus The Truth.
Oh.
And it's a compilation video. Do you know how long it is?
I'm gonna guess 9 minutes.
No, it's, like, upwards of, like, 11, 12 minutes.
Holy
long.
Shit.
And it's just clip after clip of him lying.
You can be honest with me. I don't gossip. I can't even say that with a straight face. This is going to be really hard for me to say. That a month before everything happened, I did go to Vegas and have relations with somebody else.
You spent the past 2 months lying to me, lying to my best friends, making Frank, Jen, and Jeremy look like liars. Just lie.
I never cheated.
How can you ever trust somebody like that?
And I was like, oh, this is fantastic that they have this much content.
It's wild that he is such a sociopath, but also an idiot. So it's like, I don't know. I think you think of sociopaths as typically being smart and scary. And then it's like, here's one that is so dumb.
Most sociopaths are goal-oriented. They want to kill or get money or, you know, take over the federal government. Like, there's usually a goal in mind. Jax is, you know, he just wants Instagram likes and to, like, be drunk. So to whatever end that he has to exploit evil to do that, which makes for great television. I believe that Vanderpump Rules is maybe one of the – and I'm a reality TV super fan. It's one of the only ones I could call also prestige television.
Wow.
I agree.
Roxane Gay, Martin Scorsese, Rihanna, all fans of the show.
True.
Because the show is so complex and yet simple, which is the best kind of art. Anyone can get it, but if you want to spend a lot of time analyzing it, there's a lot there.
There's so much there. I wrote a thing last year about how I think Vanderpump Rules, which I've always kind of just viewed as like kind of the messy adult daughter of The Real Housewives, has like surpassed The Real Housewives in every way. And that
it's inherited and then grown that fortune.
Yeah, and I have stopped watching most of The Real Housewives, but I will never stop. I hope that they're in their 50s and I'm still just riveted.
I always explain it like The Hills was like young people going to LA and being like, anything can happen. Like, Obama's about to be president.
Right.
I can feel the change. I'm going to get a magazine job. Like, I am going to be so famous. It's basically The Devil Wears Prada. Vanderpump Rules is like, okay, so I'm 29 and it hasn't happened, so this is going to be fine. I've settled for cocaine and attention, and that is an energy I can live with for decades. Hope doesn't last, but despair does.
Indoors, despair does
you just
endure.
You just got the pull line.
Yeah, you sound very like Ariana right now. Like, I take reality TV, like, very seriously.
Oh, my God.
I do.
Another highlight of the many seasons is when Ariana and Kristen got into a fight about sketch comedy.
What?
I take comedy very, very seriously.
I've studied it. I've studied the topic. As someone who has done UCB for like 5 years.
Right.
I would never say that.
Also, that means just like, you took classes at Groundlings, which literally anyone can do. And I say that again as someone who paid UCB a lot of money to let me take classes there.
I also don't think Ariana's not funny, but also like a thing about comedy is to be like, everybody jump in. Like, let's see what you got.
Yeah,
Have some fun. Yeah. She was like, no one's allowed to do this unless you have a degree. It's like, you're not doing surgery.
Oh, yeah. She's like the type of person, I find her very interesting in that I think she's like the only one who I probably would get along with in real life, and yet she's the one I probably dislike watching the most.
Yeah, because she's like vaguely woke, and that's not a good energy for like Jax.
I like her too, because here's the thing, I enjoy a good Bravo dramatic, somewhat kooky character. But I always gravitate towards like team reason. Like that's like on like New York, I'm like always like, oh yeah, Carol's making sense. So yes. That's something I could get behind.
I get that.
Which I don't know, maybe that's just like, sometimes I have to step away from that to be like, no, enjoy the chaos. But
with her on the show, I'm like, she's consistently the person that makes sense and yeah. also, like, can form an argument. So I'm always, like, very on board for her.
But that's what made the Ariana Kristen fight amazing, because it was like yin and yang.
Yeah.
Kristen is a chaos queen who thrives off of, like, complete nonsense. She is the kind of energy which is like, I'm off my meds, but I'm here to have fun. So to see someone who makes no, like, emotional or logical sense go against someone who's, like, forming a cogent argument right. about what you're doing and the impacts on society was a fascinating thing, because also, Ariana was kind of in the wrong.
Yeah.
Even though
sure.
she was making sense, she was clearly cheating with Kristen's long-term boyfriend. And yet, you were like, but she seems like a good person.
Yeah. And Kristen
is definitely
crazy.
Like summoned from hell. But I love her. Kristen's the queen of the show. I will always
like
support her.
She's like the gasoline and the match. Like, she doesn't need the addition. She can just do
she's
it
She's got
herself.
It all in one.
He knows everything. So when you say, do you know the guy she's f***ing? You know she's f***ing behind my back. He knows more than you do. I don't deny the fact that I cheated on you. I f***ing. I cheated on you.
I mean, and that's kind of one thing I've loved about watching these kids grow up is like watching their roles kind of evolve but also remain stagnant, where Kristen like clearly has gotten her meds figured out a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
She's in like a pretty stable relationship with a person who seems like moderately normal.
Carter.
Carter.
Carter. How she says it. She says it with so many consonants. Carter.
Carter. But she's still so good at just, like, going in and, like,
and she knew
like
when she was
tornado.
In Mexico to,
yeah.
like, go off the meds for a hot 48 hours, get her plot line in, then go back on the meds, which, like, same.
What is she on meds for?
We don't know, but we do
just, like,
know.
Meds.
We do know that she, like, it has taken a medication and has gone to therapy and is working stuff out. We vaguely yes. know that.
Okay, but we don't know, like, we don't have a specific diagnosis or anything like that.
I could guess, but it would be unethical.
Agreed.
We'll just cool. say... Ariana suspects that she's borderline.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
gotcha.
There is the classic, was it, who was it? Stassi, when she like broke down. Who was
oh,
the one
that
who broke
was an
down?
Amazing
what,
episode.
Like how everyone's a perfect example of like some kind of psychosis.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was the episode where they were, it was last season. No, the season before. It was season five.
Was it Stassi who broke it? Who broke that down?
It was Stassi, yeah.
Because, wait, who was the hypochondriac? She's like, someone's a hypochondriac.
Yes.
Someone's this.
Yeah.
Like, and she had, and then, but then Bravo had like perfect clips to like show
yeah,
along
right.
with each of these, like, with each of them.
Yeah, she's like, Sheena's a narcissist, Jack's a sociopath, Kristen's borderline. Like, she like went down and it was just one of those things that you're just like,
Stassi's like a cracked article in which, like, she knows a little bit about true crime and psychology and a little bit, like, she thinks violence is a little funny. So she's always, like, leaning into that. Like, she'll talk yeah. about aliens and she knows, like, tall grays and Roswell.
For real, I believe in aliens. James and Lala are, like, two tall grays that, like, have come down and they shape-shifted into human beings because they're f***ing disgusting.
She's, like, reading a Wikipedia page and watching
yeah.
a video. She's not, like, really,
not,
like studied.
She's not, like, steeped in it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, for pop psychology, all you need is to have watched a bunch of, like, late-night Snapped episodes.
Yeah, you need just, like, a surface-level understanding of the thing that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stassi always has that.
That's
I love she's a great when she left the show, I thought, wow, the show can continue without her, but it's good having her there.
She left the show for, like, a season and a half.
Why?
Because she was just over it.
Mm.
No, I thought she went to, like, my concept was always, like, that she went to pull, like, a Whitney Port.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, like, have her own
spinoff.
Oh, I had no idea.
That's what I always kind of assumed was happening behind the scenes. She tried to, like, jump off and, like, maybe create her own, own moment, and it didn't quite work out. Now she's back, and now she's back, and she has to contend with Lala, who's, like, kind of
the new
moved up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Lisa put all her chips on Stassi being the new Lisa, and then Lala showed up, and Lisa was like, I made a bad bet.
So the story she tells...
Stassi tells about her absence?
Yeah, it's basically that she... One, she'd kind of fallen out with almost everybody.
Sure.
And then her, like, an ex-boyfriend came to Sir and showed a bunch of people a tape, like, a clip she had made of herself touching herself for him. And, like, people she thought were her friends, like, laughed about it.
She was wrong. You know, for a fact that she showed it to people, I know that she laughed about it, and that's not f***ing okay.
And so that was, like, what she was really pissed over.
Lisa bought it from the boyfriend for $900.
That is the twist where Lisa's like, you owe me so much. I bought that tape. And it was $900. But even Stassi's kind of funny about it, where she's like, yeah, I guess I'm not that good at making a sex tape.
She's funny. Like, she is funny. I mean, for as, like, problematic as she could also
deeply
be, like, especially, like,
yes,
her, like, podcast situation, which has crept into the show several times, like, she, I think, also is someone who, like, kind of rolls with the punches. That's, like, at least the impression I get.
She knows what she's there for. And
yeah.
I also believe when I look at Stassi, I do think, unlike Sheena Shea, I do look at her and think, like, it can learn. Like, it can be taught. I do think, like, she has, with some of her problematic stuff, come back and been like, okay, I feel really bad.
But all I was trying to say was that it's not just Black people that should be demanding roles. It's everybody who should be demanding roles.
Wow.
And you're like,
she's stepped in her podcast a bunch of times.
Oh, I think, we've talked about it before,
But when she came, when she did leave, she came to New York because she was trying to create her own moment. And when she came back, they were like, why did you come back? And she's like, it's so cold. And you were like, okay, it all tracks. I understand.
Yeah, and she also was, like, living in a one-bedroom apartment with her, like, horrible, terrible boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
Who's somehow worse than all of her other boyfriends.
Oh, the worst.
I don't know. But, yeah, it is, it's funny to, like, watch them, quote-unquote, grow up. And like you said, Sheena just kind of is in a time as a flat circle
permanently
situation.
22.
And I don't know. I think, like, that was my problem with Katie is I was like, a couple seasons ago when the plot was that Katie was getting married and mm-hmm. she was like, this is my time to shine, finally, Katie's show.
Yeah.
She just became a demon.
She had a moment on the Iron Throne, but she had no idea how to rule.
She's just like, oh my God.
And she got the throne, that's all I needed.
Yeah, and she just was so mean. Yes. So mean to everybody.
Oh, wow.
And I think what made me hate her the most was that she made me feel bad for Sheena, who is a person who I never in my life want to feel sympathy for.
No. The only time I feel bad for Sheena is when I imagine her growing up in Azusa and being like, I have to figure it out. I'm getting out of here.
She's from Azusa?
She is from Azusa.
Also like Adore Delano?
Yes.
Amazing.
I'm from Azusa.
Oh, I'm a Libra.
And we've gone back to Azusa a couple times, like for like a house party, and we've met her mom, and I'm like, I can see how this
happens. God, that's amazing.
Yeah, how she like...
No shade to Azusa, but I could see Shayna having an issue with it. Like, Shayna was there, she was like, I don't want it. Like, this is like
I gotta get to a WeHo.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Height of sophistication. Yeah. WeHo.
Well, and we also forget that Shayna's the conduit that brings us into the show.
True. Yeah.
Which I think...
True. Main character.
We were talking about, like, a prompt for today's studies was, like, a great moment. And for me, it's maybe the first scene of the show because it's the first time Bravo did the seamless transition. Like, you're watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Brandy sits down with Sheena to, like, have it out about the fact that, like, Brandy's husband cheated on her with Sheena. And they talk. And then Sheena goes, well, I have to go back to work. And she gets up from the table and suddenly you're in the world
of And the camera just follows her.
Yes, into the world of Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. And then
we never left.
Which then they tried to recreate with
Summer House.
It
followed the Vanderpump Rules characters to a weekend on Long Island.
Oh.
Summer House is different because on Vanderpump Rules, everybody works together. And they already worked there. And Lisa, I know this for a fact, Lisa pitched the show creating a Pepe Sylvia-like board with strings representing who's fought, who slept together, and photos of them shirtless, and said, like, this is the show. And Bravo was like, we have to have it. Summer House was like, we found a bunch of people, and, like, on the weekend they'll get together, and, like, definitely going to have rosé. And it's like, there's not necessarily a show there.
No,
that was also the problem with Fire Island. All these Long Island-based shows, everyone's in the city, and then they go out, and you can't do that. They have to be trapped together.
You have to be in a room. You have to be together, always forced together for work or
That's
for
why housewives go on trips.
Yes.
Because we need them to interact.
Like bottle episodes. Yeah. They need to be in a space, and they cannot leave.
We have to be trapped in a manor in the Berkshires.
Definitely. I mean,
I can't even get into that. Yeah. That's a separate podcast.
Jigsaw put
Another
that together. Like, it's nightmare.
Bethany, I have a riddle for you. Anyway,
would you like to play a game?
Jigsaw just plans all of the vacations.
Maybe Andy Cohen is Jigsaw.
Whoa. Right. Actually, another thing about Vanderpump that I love is that I don't know if it's contractually obligated or what, but they're not allowed to spend the money that they make off endorsement deals or the show. They really, like, they have to spend it on specific things like cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they continue to live in these apartments, which are like what Barbax would be living in.
Yeah.
And they have to like live that lifestyle for the most part. They continue, most of them, to at least do shifts at the restaurants,
right,
or Tom Tom, which we'll get to.
Can't wait.
They continue to have to work for Lisa and live in that lifestyle,
right,
which usually ruins those shows. Once everybody gets their glow up or whatever,
yeah,
it just stops being, because like, money prevents most problems.
Right. True. Yeah.
Tom and Ariana still live in the same apartment that Tom's been living in the entire show, and they can't run the air conditioner and microwave at the same time or the power goes
which
out.
Has happened multiple times.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they still have like not a speck of paint on the walls.
Yeah.
So it does make for a great show.
Well, Schwartz and Katie have their Bubba paintings.
And their Friends frame, because they all believe that they are like the dark version of Friends, which a little bit they are.
That tracks, I guess.
But they talk about Friends a lot. They're always, wow, like, we were watching Friends. We were day drinking and watching Friends. And I'm like, this, what, is real millennial darkness.
Oh, yeah. But both day drinking and watching Friends sounds like so bad.
I've done it.
They love like a tequila sunrise with a like full-length mirror sitting on the floor and like squatting and doing your makeup while someone else,
oh,
talks,
I get
to you
it
about problems.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
That's the vibe.
Oof,
but yeah, they both have like
specific,
the yellow, you know, like the frame that was in Rachel and Monica's apartment,
yes,
around the peephole. Both Jax and Brittany and Katie and Schwartz have them in their apartment. But the best part is that the peephole is on the side of the door. So one of them has decided to have it over the peephole but off center. And the other one has decided to have it center but just with nothing in the middle.
Oh, my fucking God.
Which is a metaphor for Vanderpump Rules.
Yes. So one thing I actually wanted to talk about is that I think this season is going to be odd in that seemingly everybody are on pretty good terms right now other than James Kennedy, the white Kanye West.
And Sheena, who nobody likes.
And Sheena. But even Sheena, like, shows up and is in pictures with them.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, James is completely ostracized, except for his, like, weird fake girlfriend, Raquel.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that Raquel has been through a reboot. Like Apple did a firmware
update.
I actually did a picture side-by-side of Raquel season one and Raquel last season, or the first season she appeared in, and then last season, and she is... looks, she has a different eye color.
Mm-hmm.
She has a different
bone structure.
We've replaced her. It's like, yeah, they like rebuilt Raquel.
Yeah, I've heard that she brings drama. I've also heard that we're going to get a lot of Billy Lee fighting,
oh,
with,
yes,
the girls, which I do think will be very interesting because Billy Lee came in and was beloved by all of them. The only like queer, the only trans cast member probably on any Bravo show, the only queer person that has ever been on this show besides possibly Logan and James, but that, yeah, was another plot point.
Yeah, Brideshead Revisited. I've read that book before. Like,
very Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, well, on this point, what fascinates me about like now it's like James Kennedy versus the world is that I do kind of miss when him and Lala came on together and they were kind of like Team Rocket.
Yeah.
To like the rest of the gag. Like, you know, here for trouble. I don't know the Team,
yeah,
Rocket. You probably know the Team Rocket ride by heart.
At the
I do
OK
that.
Magazine, yeah, party, they approached the rest of the cast, yeah, and Lala just said, well, I can see no one here has been working on their summer bodies.
Yeah. They were like, if they had mustaches, they would have been twirling them.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like that Lala has been fully accepted into the pride. That,
I
like,
do think the girls looked at Lala's life situation. She's dating a very successful movie producer, ostensibly,
yeah,
and is on private jets and can offer them things. And they were like,
yeah,
oh, you've got stuff? Welcome to the club. Oh, my God.
Right.
We love you, Lala. James has nothing to offer besides, like, remixes of Feeling You.
And that, like, one room in his – like, he's, like, still sleeping in, like, the living room of a kindly gay man's apartment.
That reveal was like so offhanded that they were like, oh yeah, James has a roommate.
He pays for it by going to dinner with him occasionally, and which was like, oh.
And I'm like, wow, you're like really, this is like seems kind of complicated. You're really like just glossing over it and like mentioning it. Was it in a reunion,
yeah,
or something? Like offhandedly?
Yeah.
I'm like,
might
why?
Have been one of the clips at the end. Like,
yeah. Why have we not?
There's also like
dived into this.
Raquel then moves into the living room that he sleeps in, and he's like, I have a drawer for you. And it's the bottom drawer of a filing cabinet. And she's like, thanks, baby. Like, oh, thanks, baby.
Oh my God.
But it's literally a filing
really?
Cabinet.
Really?
Yeah, Raquel,
that's
Raquel,
amazing.
It's not great. Poor Raquel.
Oh,
she just
Lord.
Watches him flirt with Lala and like get really coked up and possibly sleep with his friend Logan.
Logan and Raquel feel like different voids that I have. Raquel's my girlfriend. You know, I go to sleep with her every night. She's my emotional connection. And then me and Logan, we're best friends. We go out, we get fucked up, we like to party. So he's like my party side.
the whole time she's like, James, I just don't, be nice to me. And you're just like, this is not a man who's ever going to learn kindness or compassion. Right. So the whole cast is against James and possibly Billy Lee. I also think like any stasis or detente we have reached is not going to last. I don't think like that's a sustainable.
What I think bodes well is that this was also my worry going into last season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty harmonious. And in the first episode, this firecracker named Faith just walks in.
All you have to do is, like, even if everyone's getting along, is you just have to throw someone into the mix.
Yeah.
Will say anything. And, like, and everything's going to fall apart. Like, we're in Westeros. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Nothing is safe.
Nothing is safe.
It's like a house of cards.
Right.
And all you need is to throw an extra card for support. Yeah. And then the weight is off and the whole thing collapses. And Stassi's back off the bottom of the pile trying to climb her way up past Lala. And I do think Billy Lee will be able to bring that. If Billy Lee creates sort of literally any tension between the Ariana side of the group and the Stassi witches side of the group, there you have your season.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so Faith basically came in and said, I had sex with Jax in the apartment of the in-home elderly person that I
care
for.
She was doing hospice care and then had sex in front of an elderly woman with Jax.
What?
And recorded it on her phone. And then played it for Britney and passed it around the group. And I guess that, I don't know if it was like wiretap laws may prevented this, but for some legal reason we couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I think it's like single, it's like dual party consent or whatever.
Yeah, but then Britney like did us the favor of recapping it in the middle of like a party that was happening where everyone was having a good time.
She was so drunk.
And Lala was like, yeah, kill him, do it. That was our premiere.
That's right. I mean, again, it was just like, I was like, oh, it's going to be such a boring season.
Deranged.
And then right away, it was just like,
one of my favorite reoccurring, like, Bravo-esque arguments is this wasn't the right time or the right place to do something. Yeah. Because I'm just like,
well, the cameras are here. And the whole cast is being paid, so it's always the right time.
We have each had a bottle of tequila on our own.
But like, this was my tequila at home party.
But like, Tom being like, babe, I'm not like mad at you for like telling Britney like what Faith recorded. I'm just mad at you for doing it at this moment when we're all drunk. And I'm like, when is she supposed to find the moment?
You guys wake up and drink.
Wait, when are you guys not drunk? Like,
oh my God.
The way that the Toms and Jax are so ride or die for each other to the point of,
and they weren't always because of the Kristen stuff.
Yeah. But they will just, I think what it is that they all have dirt on each other.
Ah,
so if one person falls then it's everybody's
ruined.
They're
all on a boys trip to Colorado and whatever happens, happens. And then they come home and Jax can't keep a secret to save his life.
No.
Jax will tell you like when he did a number two days ago. Like
totally.
Jax is no
with the door open.
And he's like here, just so you know. And you're like, nobody asked. We were literally talking about something else. And Jax is always threatening to release information. So they're always doing whatever they can to like keep that together.
To like keep that leak not happening.
Mm. So just like watching them like rally around Jax as a recording is playing of him talking about how much he hates his girlfriend
while
to the woman
sex.
He just fucked.
In front of an elderly person.
Yeah, in front of a
of a dying woman. Her last moments were like Jax's weird rants about Britney, which like probably will also be mine.
Yeah, right. What a beautiful way to go.
What a, oh my, aye.
More happens, and yet I believe that this is reality more than I do a lot of other reality TV shows.
Okay, say more about that.
Because a lot of the time on a reality TV show, you can feel either the production end of things.
You can feel like the strings,
There's a lot of talk about you said this in the press and it upset me, and then they fight about something that isn't that because they don't want to talk about the fact that they're on a reality show. This is all, like, we did see so-and-so cheat. Like, we did see this happen. We did hear this person said this. We do know there was a sex tape that Lisa paid for. We do know, like, it really is. When they are getting married, they have been together before the show started, and then they're getting actually legally married. So this is all really happening.
Right.
Also, they're, like, one of the few reality shows that will talk about the show. Like, you know, like, that's, like, something
that is
like, kind of a big no-no. Like, you, like, only when you really, really have to do you acknowledge the fact, like, yes, we're on a reality show. Yes, this is all produced. Like,
you never say the cast. You always say this group of girls.
Like, this group of friends, whatever,
but, like,
right?
on Vanderpump Rules is, like, they'll be, like, with Sheena and the guy Rob, who she was dating last season, like, Lisa Vanderpump said, she's like, he came on her show. And to be on her show. Yeah. And it's like they're all very open and aware.
It's all
about
above board then. All of this stuff. That's nice.
There's no like, oh, like, you know, like, cinema verite. Like,
right.
You know, we're.
There's no pretense.
There's a wall here that we're pretending. Like,
and they'll say, like, we do events at the thing that I'm hosting. Billy Lee's hosting a brunch at Sir Restaurant. You can come and whatever. And it's a plot point on the show. When the Pride episodes come around, which is a yearly thing, also none of them are registered to vote, but love wins, I guess.
Jack said recently that he hasn't voted in 14 years.
None of them are registered to vote. I have looked it up. None of them are registered
voters. Ariana's not registered to vote?
Love wins. That's all we need to know, apparently. Anyway, the Pride episodes will come around, and they are treated like celebrities by the gay men of West Hollywood.
Yes.
So we do get a taste of that, and it presents more of a reality than the construction that is other reality shows.
Right.
Which makes it so much more fascinating.
That is really interesting. I didn't realize that.
One of my favorite moments in my own life is when I went to a VPR meet and greet.
oh, my God.
And was on the street and about to take a picture with Jax Taylor, and someone drove by in a cab and just yelled, "You're the number one guy in the group, Jax."
Because
this is what Jax insists whenever he's on cocaine.
Whenever he's had some pasta, he says repeatedly, "I'm the number one guy in this group. How dare Tom come in here with a six pack and say he started the party? I was drinking way before he got here. I'm the number one guy in this group." And you're like, "What are we talking about?"
His teeth are clenched so hard that they're practically
shattering.
Brittany's
just like, "Babe, I think you had too much pasta."
pasta. We've learned last season
was the code word.
Possibly code.
Was that confirmed?
On Twitter they were like, "There is a code word, but it's not pasta." And it was like, "But you say pasta 1,000 times and fight about pasta, and like none of you eat." So
so scary.
But like Stassi's very open about her Adderall abuse on the show. She talks about it.
Right.
So like it makes for a way more interesting thing than when we're pretending.
We're like walking
this group
around.
Of girls wanted to go on a trip to Ireland to learn about Meghan King Edmund's Irish ancestry. Like, no, that's not what happened. But I do think the show now at this point, like, you would never give up that Diff Eyewear money on Instagram. You'd never give up your, like, spot on the Bravo's, like, most beloved show.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a clip. I mean, Lisa's leaving, possibly leaving Beverly Hills, but it's not like we're going to lose her. Like, she's going over to a more popular, like, better, arguably, television
she's
show.
She's going
where
to
everybody
be.
Everybody worships her.
Should we talk for 2 seconds about Tom Tom?
Yeah.
Mm.
Please.
All I know about Tom Tom is that I know there are two Toms, one who shaves his face and one who does not.
He shaves his face to exfoliate, which is a
thing.
That's actually
smart.
Microblading.
Very smart.
I feel like people are, like, overly judgmental of that.
I am a non-binary queer, but the thing that did get me when he was like, "Babe, you left the hair straightener on. It's on way too high. My hair's going to look insane." And I was like, this is your first scene. Like, dude.
There's also the thing where he asked to borrow Kristen's hairspray, and he's like, "No, this one sucks.
this one's got too many." Oh, and he's, like, reading off the chemicals. He's like, "Tryptoflavonoids." I was like, what are you talking about?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
He's always wearing very heavy makeup as well, which I do appreciate as a man who loves the full beat.
He's also the most uncomfortably sincere person in the world.
What? Oh, yeah.
For someone who's, like, clearly also just, like, a terrible, like, a liar.
Like, he would be sitting at this table and be like, "I am so happy to be on this podcast. Ugh. And you know what I want to say to you? I appreciate your light. You shine." And you're like, what is happening?
It's a little motivational speaky.
That's fucked up.
It's specifically... There was one reunion where he was talking about, like, Ariana and Kristen having a fight, and he's saying something, and you can totally see it. He's saying something to upset Kristen, but he's saying how he's doing that is he's saying something positive about her. He's like, "The way she handled thing was so hot. I was so into it." And then Kristen's, like, getting upset, obviously, because it's like the kind of backhanded thing to that is, like, Kristen did not handle this well, and Ariana's better at handling
and
it.
And also, he's chosen Ariana.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would be as if I turned to Alex and I was like, "Alex, you're so good at podcasting. Some people, they get on a podcast, they're terrible. You, though, you shine. Even surrounded by trash monsters, you're amazing." You guys are just like, "What is happening?"
Just want to say, I agree.
True. We're raccoons. We're garbage.
Well, and so the other Tom,
yeah.
Schwartz, is. He's an anomaly in a way.
He's a puppy dog with an Instagram account who misbehaves, but they capture beautiful moments. So a lot of the time you're like, "I really like this puppy." But if you lived with it, it goes in the house.
Oh, well,
it's constantly finding other owners to spend time with.
Totally. Yeah, it keeps making out with other owners.
Oh,
he's all blackout drunk.
Last season, he woke up at another resort with a girl and had to have security bring him back to their hotel. And Katie was like, "Oh, babe, let's eat pizza in bed." And I was like, this is so dark.
He's like a small dose. like character on this, which is like in many ways, like sometimes characters are introduced on Bravo shows and it's like, oh, they're funny. Teresa, season one of New Jersey. Ooh. Oh, this is a funny, likable, down to earth, like because you're not seeing the full picture and like they have an edit the first season or two maybe.
Yes.
And you don't see like other things about them. And then all of a sudden, like, the show will be like, oh, well, now this is a plot point.
Yeah.
So we're going to show you all this other aspects of this person.
Yeah.
And, like, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, who was this person? And, like, Tom is, like, kind of like that to me.
He got a job at Pump being a bartender. He left 10 minutes into his gig because he was like, I don't know how to make that drink. I got to go. And he just disappeared. Now he owns a restaurant with the other Tom, who I will say I verifiably know in real life that Tom Sandoval makes a very good cocktail.
I believe it.
He knows how
he
to
takes
make
it. He's so fucking it seriously.
Seriously. And he knows how to make a good cocktail, and he'll tell you what's in it specifically and how bougie the ingredients are.
Nice.
But now him and this other Tom, because of a pun, own a restaurant with Lisa Vanderpump. Meanwhile, like, poor Ariana, Jax, like, these people have been working for her. I mean, Jax has screwed up a few times, but has been working for Lisa thanklessly for a very long time.
Right.
And this Tom Schwartz man just walked in and was like, oh, my name's funny? I own 5% of her restaurant.
And Lisa, for some reason, just like her love of dogs, she's just like, oh, this puppy, I can't.
but he does have this puppy dog interview where he's like, oh, come on, oh,
Bubba. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to kiss another girl. I just did it 4 times.
Bubba, I don't even remember it. I would love to like confess. I just don't remember it.
I don't remember it.
Bubba is disgusting.
It's really gross.
We have a bunch of artwork about Bubba.
Speaking, there's a Bubba Gump shrimp plate on the menu.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. The menu at Tom Tom, I mean, it is like the decor. It just, Lisa went into a Pier 1 and was like, I'll take it all. It was as if she went to a Cheesecake Factory and she was like, rename it with buns. And now it's called Tom Tom and you can visit.
Wow.
Although it has a beautiful clock, which tells you, like, when you're looking at it, you just remember, like, how much of your life you're spending on this.
Yeah. I also spent a lot of time last night reading Yelp reviews of it.
Tom Tom.
Oh, please.
And I will say most of them are fairly positive and they're people who get it, where it's just like, you are going, like you said before, like it's Bravo, park. It's Bravo Disneyland.
It's Disneyland. Yeah, it's like a theme park. There's like 3 little restaurants in a row. Pump
you hope to see one of your favorite characters and get a picture.
I mean, gotcha. You can see Shayna day or night, anytime. My fiance went out to LA and he was like, I Ubered past there because he was staying in West Hollywood. And he was like, I literally never Ubered past after 4 p.m. that she wasn't outside. Like, is anybody here? Like, I need to take a photo. Like, you want to buy me, like, meet me a drink? Like, I'll meet a guy. Like, whatever. Like, it's like, I'm here. And I had a friend who recently, someone or a listener to Andy's Girls DM'd me on Twitter and said she went and Tom had a line of people that wanted to meet him. And Sheena was just at the bar, like, looking around for someone to talk to her. But she was like, it's that energy that she wants to be recognized.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom's just like, oh, yeah, hey, I ordered some french fries. Anybody wants some? Oh, you know the show? He told
your
them to
watch. Your impression of Tom is like a Muppet, and I love it.
It is so perfect.
It's so Muppet. Like he's going to, like, come in and out of frame, walks, like, bouncing,
he's like
around.
Bouncing shoulders.
Hey, oh, did you guys want a free shot of tequila? Oh, okay.
Whereas, Bubba, like, you're going to the dark place, Bubba. Bubba, you're going to the dark
Sheena's
place.
She's got, like, a spotlight she brought.
Right,
set up.
She's ring light. And she's like hey, red.
Hi, my name is.
You can't touch my body. And she's someone's like, I don't know the, like, restaurant. What's happening?
I don't want to touch
She's,
your
like,
body.
Texting Rob Valletta, like, out loud, voice to text. Yeah, but, like, yeah, so there was a lot of people who were clearly like, yeah, it's so stupid. Like, they have a line to get in that's clearly just so that there is a line.
Which is a signature Lisa move, like a fire. There is always a fire every 6 to 8 years, depending on insurance fine print.
Sure.
And then she's like, it was so horrible. Thankfully, we'll get to redo the interior yet again.
Yeah, and she's like, the work that's supposed to take 3 weeks, we're going to do in 3 days.
She's like, I thank God I had designs and estimates ready to go. Literally, and you can track. This is like clockwork. And it's the same thing. She has that line outside, which always happens.
Yeah.
And she does the thing where they each have to be there, like, randomly for like an hour for shifts. So that there's always an Instagram photo. There's always something on the Reddit. There's always something popping off on Twitter.
Smart.
And they have a license too, as well, to give out free drinks and to be like, thank you so much for being a fan of the show. Oh, you know what? Let's get a bottle. But it's already built in. into the
economy. It's all set up already.
Again, yes. You're paying $16 for a cocktail.
But you know what?
So that helps.
The Disney princesses can all sign the name in the perfect font, and they all know the lines of the show, and they all, like, fit perfectly in the costumes, and it's the same thing. And I respect it.
That's pretty great.
Game, I mean, respect a game.
And I think if I went, I would also leave it a good review, no matter how terrible anything was, because I'd be like, yeah, I knew what I was getting into. And then there was the counter point where people who didn't know what they were getting into, maybe they were brought by friends,
they're like,
or that
how
type
does
of
this
thing
exist?
And they're just like, everyone is like, the service is terrible, no one ever gave
like,
us water,
food's disgusting,
punctinis are made out of like toilet water and
one of the funniest things
I got hit in the head with a shoe, like someone was screaming and crying,
they were shooting some reality show and like they would not stop talking.
One review said that the tables where you sit, the chairs are too high, so you're like really weirdly like towering over your plate. And then another thing I saw was that the chairs at the bar are too low. But this is separate things.
Oh, my God.
I will also say, legendarily, all the bathrooms in Lisa Vanderpump establishments make no sense, and they're never cleaned.
And they smell bad.
Because she's not hiring anybody who's like, well, we have a commitment to excellence here.
I feel like
and it's the most unpleasant
task. It's Max, and he's just stretched too thin. Max is Lisa's unfortunate son.
Who occasionally is a side character on Vanderpump Rules.
Poor Max.
But he like actually is like hustling. He works so hard.
Her daughter has been given like a rosé line and like she has a magazine called Vanderpump, Very Vanderpump. And like she's like working with Stassi on a few projects. And her poor son, right? Like he's been a bar back and like he's just
he's for like
years.
He's like the Cosette. Of the, like, there is a castle on a cloud, like.
Alex and I just made an eye contact that was like, yes.
That's really
he's
good.
Just, like, they're just, like, making him mop.
That's
and he's
amazing.
Just, like,
and she's one like, day I'm, you know. One day he'll earn something from me. And, you know, 2 years ago I bought him a couch, and he's very happy with it.
Jesus.
Meanwhile, she has, like, 18 swans with a much better lifestyle than
they're,
Max.
Like, wearing, like, diamond collars.
Oh, my God.
The one really damning thing I saw is that multiple people were like, yeah, in the line to get in, it seems like they're, like, pretty racist.
Oh.
Oh.
Like, a lot of people
shocked.
Were like,
the whole cast has been white since the, and white and straight. And
again,
West Hollywood, very strange.
Like, Faith provided the most incredible drama of last season, only got 2 episodes where she gets to show up?
They started being like, these people are going to be artists. Tina was a side act character, a waitress who had a band that worked really hard on her music.
Uh-huh.
And they showed 2 seconds of it. And they
were like, an actually good singer.
Actually great singer.
Wow.
She had a cool vibe. She knew all these like great places in LA. She's like, you know, I've been working on this album for a really long time. And like, Sheena was like, I did a song. It's called Good as Gold. And like, I got 2 backup dancers and we spent like a day
learning the dance.
And then they showed 2 seconds of Tina being like, Fiona Apple told me to cry. And then they cut to Sheena and she's like, titty. And you're like, oh my God, this is so dark. Poor Tina.
But no matter what, I plan on going to Tom Tom as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm buying like bottles of potion number one.
Yeah. Potion number one is so funny to me.
They it's do spells like, on the show because they truly want to be witches, but in the most like, it's
Sephora
like,
way.
We're different than other girls. We bought Siege at Urban Outfitters, and, like, we know how to use it.
I guess I'm going to watch the show now.
Yes.
I'm convinced.
And, you know, one day they're going to have kids, and we're going to get a Jax and Britney raising babies Kardashian-style spinoff. And you know what? It's going to – the darkness will continue generations to come.
I mean, it sounds like the darkness is in them, and you can't really – like, there's no getting it out.
Ariana will get a horse show.
Oh, yeah.
She's a horse girl.
Oh, ah.
She also is very open about her body issues, which is
That's
like
nice.
Her main form of darkness or whatever.
For her.
It is nice, but
seems off-brand for the show.
It's off-brand for the show, and then you have characters like Lala, who's like, I wake up every day, and I tell every part of my body that it's beautiful. I tell my face, you're so sexy. I tell my body, like, thanks for being thin. I tell my puss, you're amazing for taking that D like a champ. And you're like, okay,
she's
Ariana was literally talking about how she's uncomfortable with her own sexuality, like, a scene ago.
Yeah, and then she's like, I think I have man hands, but you know what? I thank them because they give great hand jobs. You guys are both
so
funny.
I feel so great. I feel so happy now.
I feel like I just brain dumped.
Where can people find
you? Where can people find you?
You can follow me on It Gets Better, BEDDER, on Twitter and Instagram.
It's a really good Twitter account.
That's a good follow.
Thank you.
A lot of effort is put into it. Me, it's just like, I'm like, Vicky Gonvalson, what's she up to? Alex is like crafting memes.
Yeah, Alex like does like amazing like film overlays.
This is all ridiculous.
It's true, but I love it.
We do housewife shows. Yes. I do not know when the next one will be. We have yet to figure that out.
The holiday seasons is always tough.
Tricky. Yeah. Yes. Tricky.
Okay. Here for Drama is
Here
the...
for Drama. HFD yes. Live on Twitter. You can get updates from there. Yeah, we do live readings. We transcribe an episode of a reality show, mostly Housewives, as if it's a film script. Alex and I are usually in the cast. Alex is eight. We never even got to it. He's a perfect mimic for any Housewife voice that has existed in the pantheon of Bravo. I just do Bethany because it's my regular voice.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean?
I one time played Kyle Richards, and not I think good. I broke the show because I was like, Kyle Richards is now Bethany. but yeah, we do events like that. You can find them at HFD Live, and we will announce them. They do happen regularly, and they're for charity. We do for women's charities because if we're going to be celebrating women's pain, we should put the money towards a really good cause.
The last time it was Be Strong, I believe.
Be Strong. Yes. We've done Planned Parenthood. We've done WIN. We've done a bunch of really great causes. Cool. Yeah, and you can find me at Ryan Houlihan on Twitter. Yeah, my Twitter makes a lot less sense, but my Instagram is adorable.
I believe it. I'm there. Well,
this was a pleasure.
These are the best days of our lives.
Raise a glass, everybody.
Yeah.
Throws a scarf.
Yeah. we're just ending it in slow motion, just drinks splashing. I forgot to mention, we're all in our Sir uniforms.
Yeah, I've been wearing.
Oh, yeah, we're all wearing handkerchief dresses, and we're about to hook.
I'm freezing, but I look good.
I'm handling fire for no reason. I'm like, why are they giving any of these people something that ignites?
Like,
because Lisa wants the insurance money and scene.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Ryan Houlihan and Alex Better. This episode was produced by Rachel Withers and was mixed by Jamie Colazzo. Majdanu Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. If you want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think, hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. You can find us on Spotify, NPR One, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.